We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Division games, you got to win them. We know our record this year in them. It's not easy going on the road and playing in division games. We got to understand that and be ready for, again, a hostile environment. So that's why this week of practice is so important for us to establish a game plan that we feel comfortable with. So, you know, come Thursday night, we can kind of play freely and be ready for that. So, you got to win your division games.
Bills looking for their first division win tonight against the New England Patriots. They are 0-2. 3.5-point favorites in New England. The game is an Amazon Prime game. You can hear it here on WGR, of course, and it's being broadcast locally on Channel 7. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase with you. On the Western Hotline is Yahoo Sports' Scott Pianowski for another check in with the fantasy segment, get some lineups in, what to expect, through the course of this week. Scott, it's crunch time, whether that's the start of playoffs or seeding, or for those of us still alive in Guillotine, it's like daily fantasy lineups. It's an intense time of year.
Are you a Scott Fishbowl guy, Scott?
I am. I missed the playoffs by a tiny, tiny margin, maybe 20 or 30 points, something like that.
Yeah. I just got eliminated from the first round of the playoffs, which, Jeremy, I think it's 1350 out of 1450 make it to the next round, and I got eliminated.
It's tough.
Bottom 5% or something. So, yeah, it's a tough time of year.
Yeah.
The worst day of the fantasy season is that day after you get eliminated. And I always joke that there's a dance of the recently eliminated, that your team that just got eliminated will go ballistic the following week. It's one of the true things. So play that lineup in a DFS contest or something like that, because now that they can't help you, they will score like no tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. There's Alvin Kamara on Christmas a couple of years ago for
six
me.
Six touchdowns.
Yeah, while the two championship game teams in the championship had like no points, I've got Alvin Kamara scoring like eight touchdowns, whatever he had.
Crazy.
I wonder, like,
he's in a weird year this year. I mean, he had all three of his touchdowns came against the Raiders. He has zero touchdowns the rest of the season. And that crazy clip last week where he's trying his hardest to get in the end zone, he fumbles at like the 1 yard line. That's Alvin Kamara's 2022 in a nutshell.
Yeah, one thing about this time of year is maybe you finally get some payoff for guys you've been holding out hope on. And I'm thinking, as we're talking about like these guys that blow up after you get eliminated, or maybe you're still alive and a guy like Christian Watson is just boom, he's arrived and you might win in your playoffs because of that. Or a team that's been banged up all year. I'm thinking about the Bucs receiver core. You know, Godwin has started to really blossom here. When it comes to guys that maybe you could, you could target, Scott, maybe not in, you know, exactly you're going to make trades, the trade deadline's done. What teams, what offenses are you really feeling right now down the stretch, whether that's schedule or that they seem to have found answers?
Well, you mentioned Watson, and that ties into a theme that we talk about a lot, which is sometimes these rookie receivers, or rookies in general, it could be with running backs too, because Jonathan Taylor did this his rookie year. Sometimes the light really goes on for younger players in the second half of the year, and Watson's got the six touchdowns in 3 weeks. Treylon Burks has started to spread his wings in Tennessee. We know they don't have a high-flying passing attack, but he's become their priority receiver. And the Jets have a different offense now, at least for 1 week anyway, with Mike White, because he wasn't Zach Wilson. And that means Garrett Wilson is a plug-and-play. And if you need to go deep, I don't think you would play Elijah Moore this week. He only had two targets last week, but he made two splash plays. They play Minnesota this week. Maybe next week. Remember, six teams don't play in week 14. The NFL doesn't care about our fantasy league. So I hope you're looking ahead, because you may need reinforcements next week. I'm really curious to see if these young receivers, Watson, everybody's playing him now. Burks, you could play him proactively. Elijah Moore should be on a roster. Some guys I'm looking at, Elijah Moore's a second-year player, and Garrett Wilson just looks tremendous. It makes you wonder how Ohio State ever lost with all this receiver talent that they've had the last few years. But I'm got an eye peeled on those guys. Burks is on a couple of teams of mine where I'm playing him proactively. I know the Eagles aren't the greatest matchup. And Tennessee, again, they want to throw about 30 passes a game. But I feel like 7 or 8 targets are going to go to Burks every week now.
The other guy that's a high-profile pick, Jahan Dotson, too, but he's not really getting much in Washington. Jameson Williams is back practicing. Mm-hmm. I saw he's a long shot this week, but it depends, I guess, how long your bench is. But the talent level there is so high that, I don't know, I could totally see a month from now we're talking about Jameson Williams as a league winner because he just shows up and starts catching bombs over the top.
Yeah, the only thing with Wilson is with Williams is that I just need to see something first. I need that prove it game. So we're at least a week away, I think, from starting him proactively. With Detroit, you wonder, it's interesting how they've handled Swift, where he may not be 100%, but maybe they're just not in love with him. Every week he gets 7, 8, or 9 targets, and then people run the Twitter and complain, how come they're not using Swift more? This is how much they use him every week. It's an SAT question where the next number in the sequence is not 17. It's going to be 8. But I agree with you. Well, obviously Williams was drafted in the first round, and he would have gone even higher if not for that injury last year at the conclusion of his college season, which was unfortunate. And you know, it's crazy to think he was at Ohio State too. He was with Olave, and he was with Wilson. And because Wilson was so good right away that Williams said, oh, if I want to play, I have to go somewhere like Alabama where I'll get on the field. It just seems crazy to say that right now. Marvin Harrison Jr., by the way, looks like he's going to be a great pro. He's having a really good second year at Ohio State. He didn't play much last year. I agree with Williams in general. I just need to see one prove it game before I could trust him for fantasy.
I'll speak with Scott Pianowski on the Wester Hotline. When it comes to quarterbacks, this is maybe the time of year where every type of league, if you have one or two quarterbacks, you're looking for the guys you can trust. And we've had this conversation before about Lamar Jackson and that offense, and they'll play Denver this week. You know, I feel like Denver is, as much as they've been an embarrassment on offense, Scott, for the most part, they have been a graveyard for fantasy. If you're playing the Broncos, I feel like it's almost always a sit your players against that team.
Yeah, it's well said. One of their games all year has gone over the total. One. And the total keeps getting lower and lower. It's in the 30s most weeks with them. Last week they don't go over against Carolina. Lamar Jackson had 12 combined touchdowns first 3 weeks. He might have been the MVP frontrunner. We're certainly in that conversation. Since then, he's 8 total touchdowns. A failure for Baltimore to stock the receiver room. I know they expected Bateman to have a breakout year, and so unlucky that he gets hurt, but they don't do anything at the deadline for their offense anyway. They obviously did made a defensive addition, but they badly need reinforcements. Obviously, they need to figure out the Jackson contract, too. It's another thing they didn't do, but Lamar Jackson, you're probably playing him. Obviously, he's got a lot of rushing equity, but I don't think he's an automatic starter anymore. And I think he's going to go down as, did he ruin your season? No. Has he been a fantasy disappointment? I think it's fair to say yes. And, man, you look at the talent around him. I mean, you know, Gus Edwards is okay, and, you know, Kenyon Drake's still in the league, and, you know, Andrews, of course, is great, dropped a touchdown last week. I mean, he'll be fine. They had the likely injury, which also hurt them because I think they needed him to play a lot. And they're hoping DeMarcus Robinson can make a play. And I know a couple of weeks ago he had a really big game, not caught 9 passes or something like that. But that's not a sustainable business model. DeSean Jackson was terrific at his peak. He's nowhere close to that now. It's just frustrating to see Jackson have so little help in this offense. And I don't think he's an automatic play anymore. I think you're probably playing him because if you drafted Jackson, you just ignored the quarterback position on waivers every week. Why would you pick up Geno Smith or something? I got Lamar Jackson. But, yeah, he is definitely – Baltimore's been – a fantasy disappointment. Now they play Denver, where they're all defense and no offense. And I thought Russell Wilson was going to have a great year. I thought he was changing teams at the right time. And, man, that couldn't have been more wrong. Obviously Denver's been awful for fantasy. And the team he left behind, Geno Smith's at a quarterback rating over 105 straight weeks. A couple too many turnovers the last couple of games since they lose to the Raiders last week. But, you know, Geno Smith is here to stay. And if you got to Geno Smith being competent before the season, whether you drafted him or it just meant you drafted Metcalf, you drafted Lockett. I mean, that's been one of the right answers. In a year with not a lot of right answers. A lot of right answers in Seattle this season.
Would you start Deshaun Watson over Lamar Jackson this week?
I need to see it. I think Watson, he's one of the biggest questions of the week and one of the biggest question marks. He hasn't played football in 2 years. And the way the suspension worked, he was unable to be around the team or practice for such a long time. Only maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, he rejoined the team. He just hasn't run a lot of reps. They have decent talent in Cleveland, but it's not ridiculous. You know, Amari Cooper's a good player. Peoples-Jones is okay. And Njoku's had a pretty nice season. Great touchdown catch to force overtime last week. I need to see a game from Watson. There may be some people who roster Watson who have to play him. But if I had somebody else who I viewed as like a top 12 quarterback, I would wait and see on Watson.
Scott Pianowski on the Wester Hotline joining us to talk about a little bit of fantasy going into this week's game with the Bills and the Patriots. You know, as you lay out all that stuff about the Ravens there, Scott, we're having similar conversations about it with the Bills. Not nearly as bad. I mean, Allen has had a good fantasy season. He's had more success running. The touchdowns are still generally there. But it does feel like an offense that kind of left out some of the things they probably needed. And the production for the Bills as an offense has been down.
Yeah, again, just a mild, mild disappointment. When I did my power rankings of all the fantasy teams, NFL teams before the season, I had Buffalo at 1. I update them quarterly, and now I have them 3 or 4, something like that. I mean, still a good ranking, but I didn't consider them at 1. And you know, you look at somebody like Gabe Davis, his chart, it's like wide receiver 37, wide receiver 48, wide receiver 1. Wide receiver 50, wide receiver 47, wide receiver 15. There's no consistency, not getting a huge target share. We know they tend to use Singletary more in the competitive games, but he obviously has to share some of that rushing production. Is going to go to Allen. We've seen Cook play a little bit more in some recent games. Isaiah McKenzie out of nowhere, a huge game against Thanksgiving, and now it's like, well, here come the Patriots. He torched them in New England last year. I think some people who are hurt in receiver are looking at McKenzie this week, but I mean, he could have 2 targets. I would not be. McKenzie had like 85 yards to touchdown. Like, oh yeah, he was great last week. He was great against New England. If Isaiah McKenzie hardly plays, he's had like 7 games like that this year. It's been hard to know where the ball's going. Allen and Diggs are great. And, you know, I know Allen's playing through an injury and everything, but I mean, you are happy you have them. Singletary's been useful. You haven't won anything through Singletary, but he's certainly been worth having and usually worth playing. After that, it's been really tricky. And Davis goes down again. It's a mild disappointment. You're not losing your season because of Gabe Davis. But after that 4 touchdown game, you could dream of him maybe being like a top 15 receiver, and he hasn't quite been that.
What about for the Bills' opponent tonight in the Patriots? Jacoby Myers, right? You're probably firing him up. Stevenson's the one, right? Like Stevenson, especially with Damian Harris not in there, like, he's become a RB1, right? Like, week to week. Like, he's been incredible.
Again, I don't think there's a lot of right answers this year in fantasy. Stevenson's certainly one of them. And he can't get game scripted out. He's a really good runner. He's been an excellent receiver, really high target shares. And with the passing game, you know, I didn't want any part of it. I've been forced to reevaluate it because Mac Jones looked so good on Thanksgiving. Now, a lot of that was Minnesota. Their pass defense is horrible. Mac Jones had the best game of his career. Hunter Henry had 1 touchdown, could have had a second one. Myers should check his status because I'm not positive he'll play tonight. But if Myers is out, that actually would push me to Henry. For the most part, though, the Patriots has been a one-person team for fantasy. It's been Stevenson. It's been if you really needed to go deep at receiver, you could play Myers and, you know, hope for like 50 or 60 yards. He generally doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. And in an awful year, I hate to talk so negatively with all this red ink. It's just been a lot. Like, look at tight end for fantasy, right? If you have Travis Kelce, you're really happy. If you have Mark Andrews, you're a little bit disappointed. If you have anybody else, you're frustrated. You know, Dallas Goedert got hurt. Zach Ertz got hurt. Dalton Schultz did nothing for about 2 months, although he had a big Thanksgiving game. You know, Cole Kmet flashes for a week, goes away. Tight end's been such a hard fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, Dawson Knox hasn't had a great season. Albert O., literally, for Denver. That offense has been driven into a ditch. And then you have a team like the Colts, right? They have 3 tight ends, and every 5 weeks, one of them goes crazy. Jelani Woods looks so good on Monday night because Granson didn't play, and they needed him. And I picked him up in some deeper leagues, and I may even have to play Woods this week. We'll see. He's on the injury report. But he could have 5 yards this week, and I wouldn't be surprised.
And you didn't even mention Kyle Pitts, who's been like probably the most devastating tight end pick of everybody.
The poster boy for tight end angst is Kyle Pitts. Of course, And the failure to launch of Pitts and Drake London, right? I mean, yep. London, he's the opposite of that wide receiver theme we talked about. He started hot. He's been really, really cold lately, and I don't blame London or Pitts. I blame Mariota and Arthur Smith. It falls on them. Their leading receiver is Zacchaeus. You look at the talent in that roster. How is he your leading receiver? It doesn't make sense to me.
I saw someone suggest that, like, and I wonder your take on this, that Travis Kelce has ruined fantasy football at that position, and that the leagues out there should give some consideration to just eliminating the tight end position and just going pass catchers. And I just wonder how you feel about that.
No, I keep tight ends. It's just these things are all cyclical. You know, we'll talk 1 year, like, oh, the running quarterbacks are ruining fantasy, or oh, there's no good tight ends, or oh, everybody's doing backfield by committee, or wide receiver usage is spread out too much. It's just, these things are all cyclical, you know, or in fantasy baseball. It's all home runs and strikeouts, you know. I can't get any stolen bases anymore. Why is my whole team hitting 227? It's just the shape of the game. We have to adjust to it. And my suggestion is play more players. You said the flukes get ironed out, so one player doesn't necessarily win or lose for you. But Kelce, Yahoo has a thing called MVPs where we figure out how often a player is on one of the 500 best Yahoo teams. And Kelce, for the longest time, was at the top of that list. And only recently, I think it was last week, he was passed by Josh Jacobs, who, you know, has a 300-plus yard game. He wasn't even 100% healthy, which is crazy to think about. But Josh Jacobs right now is on like 70 or 68% of the top 500 Yahoo teams. And then Kelce's the next guy. There's a drop-off. It's like 46% or something like that. But another guy who's on that list is Miles Sanders, who, you know, the famous touchdown regression season, right? He scores no touchdowns last year. He's already got 8 touchdowns on a team that runs the ball really, really well. But I'm keeping tight ends in that league. And then the problem with Kelce is that, as great as he is, he's in his mid-30s. Are you willing to spend like a top-5 pick on Travis Kelce next year? If you look back to what he did this year, you'd say, of course I am. But with aging patterns of players and tight ends, I actually think he's going to be a guy I'm going to avoid next year. I hate to say avoid Travis Kelce in the same sentence. He's one of the best tight ends of all time. He obviously has a great setup with Mahomes and Andy Reid, but I say keep the position. Yes, is it tricky and frustrating? Yes, but that's part of the challenge.
As you mentioned, you know, that touchdown regression for Miles Sanders, my thought is, do we call that the Joe Mixon? Because like, he went through that, and last year was kind of like, what, his first touchdown in however, like, forever, and he's back on the touchdown train when he's healthy.
By the way, speaking...
Yeah, well, he got a lot of it in one game. He had 5 touchdowns in that one game, but you bet on... Bet on talent, bet on opportunity, bet on situations. You know, the Eagles, a great offensive line. He has to share. The big thing for Sanders this year, he has to share with Hurts, of course. He's going to run a lot and run for a lot of touchdowns. But there hasn't been anybody else in that backfield. If you can reduce the effective runners in a backfield down to 2, and sometimes that includes the quarterback, of course. But if it's 2 or fewer, you're fine. Once you get to 3, it gets complicated. Like, you know, somebody who needs, like, Patterson in Atlanta, it's like, well, Algier's going to play. And Mariota's probably going to run 5 to 10 times. So now you have 3 people handling it, and that gets complicated. But you can get a backfield down to 2. We feel a lot better about it for fantasy purposes.
By the way, Miles Sanders and next year we're talking about a little bit here. It makes me think of all of these lists people are tweeting out about free agent running backs next year. And, you know, Sanders is a free agent, and Montgomery, and Barkley, and Jacobs, and the list is so long. We're probably headed for like the most chaotic fantasy offseason ever, right? Just because of how many free agent running backs there are?
That'll be interesting. I dare it to beat what we saw this year with all the receivers changing teams, where you had A.J. Brown go to Tennessee and Tyreek Hill. There's another right answer, by the way. Tyreek Hill, who could be in the running for Offensive Player of the Year, he goes to Miami. Devontae Adams goes to Vegas and breaks up Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, which was such a fun thing to watch. But the running back position is always going to be the most important in fantasy, even if it's not the most important in real-life football anymore. You know, but I'm nervous to take guys on a second contract. Yeah, look at a guy like Barkley, who all of his receiving metrics have gone down. Even a guy like Zeke Elliott, who's not going to change teams, but you know, he's getting deep in his career. He had a good game on Thanksgiving. He's still a good player. We can all see Tony Pollard is more expensive. Aaron Jones is getting his late 20s. Kamara, late 20s. I'm going to try to skew younger at the position. And granted, I had like a lot of Williams this year in Denver. That didn't work out. He got hurt and everything. But I want a younger running back room. And I'm probably going to get Derrick Henry. I'm a lot of these guys in their late 20s. I'm just worried the 1 year I'm going to step in the wrong ditch. Granted, every running back comes with risk. Any running back can get hurt. Taylor had never missed a practice in his entire career. He's had an injury plague season. You know, McCaffrey's had bumps and bruises, but that's a position I want to be young at, and I want to be with guys on their first contract. And it seems it's no fun to play fantasy football like an actuary. You know, the game has a heartbeat, and you want to consider that. But that's a position I want the younger player cycle.
Scott Pianowski on the Western Hotline. Scott, thanks for the time. Enjoy the game tonight as well. It's a big one.
It is a big one. And good luck to everybody. You know, keep grinding. Look ahead to week 14 because you may need to do some things to your roster next week. Try to jump the gun if you can. And jump the line, I should say. But, enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Pianowski for his weekly hit with us. 9:30 here on WGR. Bills Patriots on the way tonight. An 8:15 kick on Amazon. Joe and I have our bet in. 2-1 odds. Will Ryan Fitzpatrick appear shirtless on the broadcast?
Yep. Shirtless.
I'm excited for it.
Can't believe I bet no on that.
Yeah, it's more fun to bet, yes.
It's more, right, just because it's more fun. And there's no FCC anyway. They'd be fine, right? But they don't have to deal with that because they're streaming.
No, not at all.
Although it's on TV here, so maybe they do.
That's fine.
I put out a Twitter poll saying, will we see Ryan Fitzpatrick with his shirt off? It's actually pretty close. It's a 54-45.
Oh, man.
Who's voting no on that?
That means I got good odds. You gave me pretty much, you gave me 2-1.
2-1.
And here we have it. It's 50-50. People think it's going to happen.
Yeah. What if never mind. That's not the bet. It'd be a bad beat, though, if somebody else, like Mocking Fitz, does it on the telecast.
Yes. Could definitely happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's got to be Fitz. We're going to break in more of your calls. Back to the conversation. Bills, Patriots, on your way here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.